flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, if you heard the end of our last hour, we were discussing how bad weed smells and how it's everywhere. And then a conversation broke out online on the Annie Fry YouTube. If you'd like to participate in this conversation, I don't really know why you would, but it's kind of fun. What smells worse than that? Some people, I don't know why, the question that's not the current question, the poll question of the day, which is, have you bought crypto? But the question has become on the chat, what smells worse? And some of the suggestions have been things like diesel gas, which I completely disagree with.
I think it wasn't so much diesel gas as diesel trucks.
Diesel trucks, the engine.
The exhaust.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, I don't love that, but I don't hate it.
It's not as intrusive. Like, you notice it, but it's not as intrusive. It's not as sharp.
What about the smell of gasoline in general? Fan or no?
Well, I'm a car guy, so
I like it,
but I don't want to smell like it all day. Like, if I get it on my hands, I'm like, oh, that's going to end up giving me a headache.
Yeah, at the gas station, I'm kind of like, oh, that's kind of nice, but then I want to leave it. I don't want to keep smelling it.
You don't want to, like, spray it all over yourself?
It's not going to be Zoolander. What are some of the other suggestions? They were asking, what do you think Trump smells like? And somebody said, probably pretty citrusy. The other person said, like Big Macs.
I was going to say like Victory, but...
Oh, like Victory. Was there any other ones that I missed?
I'm
Doug says
that.
Loaded diapers smell worse. I would agree with that. You know, I mean, it's not hard to find things that smell worse.
That's worse than pot.
Worse than pot, yeah. But anyway, if you want to weigh in, not sure why you would, but while you're there, you can weigh in on our YouTube live chat poll of the day. Have you ever bought crypto? Brad?
I have never bought crypto, and part of that reason is because I don't trust crypto. We talked a little bit about it when Ethan was in here in the first hour. Meme coins and stuff like that. Like, to me, the idea of crypto was like, oh, I kind of like where we're going with this, where it's a completely unregulated, un-government-affected currency. You can't just make more of it and that sort
of
thing.
You also can't fiddle with it.
Right.
Unless you somehow make a backdoor. But the big ones, they know that
right,
you can't.
Right, your Bitcoins and, yeah. I don't know, Ethereum was one, but I don't know if that's even popular anymore.
Bitcoin is like the gold standard.
Yeah, that's what everybody, when they think crypto, they think that. But then there are things like meme coins, and we talked about that. Donald Trump has a meme coin, and Trump coin, and how 89% of his worth on paper now is that coin.
It's incredible.
The thing to me that blows my mind about this, and Trump is an example of this, but he hasn't done this, but the Hawk Tua girl had a Hawk Tua coin, and basically, she did, I think they call it a pump and dump, where you run the price of it up, and then you sell all your shares of it.
And then it
loses craters, its value. And it has no value whatsoever.
Isn't that illegal?
I think there's some legality to that? Yeah, and the thing about it is, to me, this is the problem with like, that was supposed to be the thing that crypto was supposed to guard against. Now, don't go investing in meme coins. That's a terrible idea. You know, it's like a play a game, win a bunch of money or lose a bunch of money. And like in that specific example with the Hawk Tua girl, there were people out there investing their life savings in that coin. That's stupid.
Well, they're trying to catch that wave.
Right. It's dumb. That's something that you do whenever you have expendable income that you don't mind losing, that you gamble on that. It's the same thing to me. In my mind, it's kind of the same thing as going to a casino and throwing some money in a slot machine and pulling the arm. You got to be willing to lose that money before you even do that, or you have to be able to lose that money.
Well, your concerns with crypto, I think, are valid, but they're the same concerns that even crypto bros share.
Yeah.
You know, you're not saying anything that they don't disagree with. In fact, somebody on the chat right now, whose name is Crypto 1000.
Yes.
I think they might know a little bit about this, says, don't buy crap coins.
Exactly.
Well, that's kind of the point.
But it's such a new thing that there's a bunch of people out there that aren't really experienced with this. And I am smart enough to recognize that I don't know enough about crypto to go, yep, I should invest in this, or nope, I shouldn't invest in that. All I know is like Bitcoin is really expensive and Bitcoin is pretty stable. So if I wanted to buy any crypto, that's probably where I would go. But even that, I don't trust it enough to know. And so that's why I've never bought crypto. I'm very suspicious of it. I'm leery of trying to get involved in it.
Well, I think the question that maybe we should have drilled down a little bit further on the question and said, have you bought Bitcoin? Because Bitcoin is the one that real crypto investors and real libertarian-minded people who are really big on it say, no, this is the way to go, and some of those other big ones. Because the new crypto coins, you know, I'm looking up the Trump coins right now. And by the way, there's two of them. It's not just Trump coin. It's also Melania coin.
There's a Melania coin, yeah.
And both of them are doing well enough that if he owns a bunch of those coins, then he is, I don't know, I guess a multi-billionaire.
Yes.
I don't know. It depends on how they treat that stuff. And people have asked ethical questions. I've never really heard, it's such a new thing for a president to own their own coin that he's way ahead of any laws that might exist on it. So he's not doing anything illegal. But then they're going, well, is it unethical? I don't really see a problem with it. I can't figure out what it would be.
It wouldn't be unethical unless it was like at all a scheme like the Hawk Tua situation where he would just dump everything and pull the rug on people.
Yeah. And I guess the ethical question would be, are you using the office of the presidency to enrich yourself? But if you're doing it to enrich yourself in a way that doesn't sell yourself to anything, which is what this is. I mean, he's not like for sale.
It's Donald Trump, though. His brand isn't that he was the president. It's part of it, but that's not the Donald Trump brand.
Then ethically ask that same question of if Ron DeSantis were
Ron DeSantis would do it and he was selling it because his claim to fame was governor of Florida, that's a little bit more like, are you using a public office to do it? Donald Trump was famous before he became president.
It's tricky. It's really tricky because I could see there being ethical questions that come up about it. I just can't really find any that I personally have trouble with at this point, but you know, I'm willing to listen on that topic because it is so new. So answer that question if you'd like to participate in today's YouTube live chat poll. Have you bought any cryptocurrency? I'm actually a yes on this poll. I had bought Bitcoin a few years back. I had one of those credit cards that gave you points back if you bought certain things, but they gave you more points back if you turned it into an investment. So if you just wanted the credit or if they wanted to send a check, it was only 1% back. But if you used it to invest, it was like 2 or 3% back. So I'm like, oh, well, that's a good excuse for me to throw a little money into the market. Yeah. And this was during the AMC thing, which actually still is a thing and never went anywhere. Yeah. The dollar signs, hands, or whatever it's called.
Diamond hands.
Diamond hands. Dollar sign.
Got that shirt.
Yeah. Those people have not left, and no. I haven't either. I still hold it.
Apes together strong.
Yeah. At that time, I threw a little bit of money into Bitcoin because it had been, for its history, a little bit down from where it was.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have done more. Well, no, I don't, because what happened was the company that was holding that, and this is why novices like me are stupid on crypto, because I used a trading company to buy the crypto. Well, the whole point of the crypto is that you don't have to use anybody.
Right.
You can you hold the key yourself. You don't have to have any third party, no government intervention, no nothing.
Right.
Nobody can manipulate Bitcoin. That's the whole point of it. Like, it does grow, so it does inflate. But to get a new Bitcoin, which are constantly being made, you have to solve all these calculations, which are done now by supercomputers. Well,
and those calculations are processes of people transferring Bitcoin.
Yeah, and so to gain more, you have to do a lot.
And
as they're created, it's a flat line. Mm-hmm. It's never like a sudden printing of them. It's always very, very even.
Yeah.
So you always know what it's going to be. So that's why the libertarian argument is that we should be using this because nobody can manipulate it. Totally understand that. Totally do. And I like that argument. But I bought Bitcoin stupidly through a third party website. And that website decided at some point, like a year and a half ago, yeah, we're just not going to do Bitcoin anymore. We don't like it. We don't want to deal with crypto because there's too many regulations. Okay, that's fine for you.
Regulations.
But then you, yeah, because of stupid government. So they dumped all of my Bitcoin as cash back into my account. Well, I didn't want to cash out.
Right.
So,
like, no, I wanted to ride this way.
Yeah, and I'm not into it enough to even notice that it had happened for like 2 months. And I noticed, oh, I don't own any Bitcoin anymore.
Where did all this cash come from?
I have some cash in that account, but it wasn't a lot. And so I'm like, should I really reinvest this? I'm not that committed to it. And then Bitcoin doubles. And I was so mad. It wasn't that much money, but it was just like, that's why I did it. Right there. Yeah. And then the purpose of doing it was totally void.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, people are worried about Bitcoin. It's like, well, it doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. You know, it's just ones and zeros on the internet. And I was one of those people. And the more I thought about it, it's like, well, if you get to the point where ones on the, like, if the internet ceases, cash isn't going to be worth anything either.
Right?
Like, what's going to matter is food, services, and maybe precious metals. If we get to that point where the internet ceases, things have gone really sideways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a much bigger problem that we face if the whole internet goes down at some point. But my experience with Bitcoin has been interesting, not just as a buyer, but a few years ago, my brother-in-law, who I think kind of leans libertarian, although we don't talk a lot of politics, he bought me a book about Bitcoin. And it was about the story of how it was created. And there's this really it's a really interesting story because they don't really know who made it. Like, of all these meme coins out there, they're all attached to people. Dogecoin's attached to Elon Musk and Trump and Melania and Hawktua and all these different people. They start these things. Fartcoin is out there. I think they know the kid that made that. But they don't really know who made Bitcoin. They have some theories, but the whole point of him creating it was that he couldn't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably got rich, but you don't know who he is because it's anonymous. That's the whole point. And it's a really interesting story. I wish I could remember the name of the book. I would recommend it to find the history of Bitcoin. I learned a lot about the way Bitcoin runs, too, throughout reading the history. And just interestingly enough, I have a couple friends who are in the tech world. And so they early on saw that this was becoming a thing and they jumped in and invested some money in Bitcoin. Well, this is when it was like $5,000. Now, for comparison, it's like $100,000 per.
Right.
So they made a whole bunch of money real fast. But because they were so, and this is when we were in our early 20s, like right when Bitcoin was starting.
Right.
Because they were not that wise with their money, they lost all of it after cashing it out on stupid crap.
Mm-hmm.
So though they made a good deal of money, they also were like, oh, this is great. You know, just like a stupid kid would. You go, oh, I'm just going to throw this over here. I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to buy myself a nice car. And it was just gone.
Yeah.
So everybody who I know who made a lot of money on Bitcoin didn't do anything with it.
I think that's also why it was kind of like there was a lot of volatility in Bitcoin at the beginning is because people would jump in it and then they were like, oh man, look at all this money I got. I better get out of this before it drops. And then they would drop and then it would dip and then a bunch of people would jump in and then it would shoot back up again. And as more people get involved in it, there's less volatility because that sort of normalizes itself because people are getting in and getting out more at the same rate.
Yeah, and Chris Tyrell is online questioning. He said, "Nah, it's never got to 5,000 until 2017." Well, maybe they got in earlier than that. Then I don't remember.
Yeah.
My point is that they got rich and they didn't know what to do with it, and then none of them are rich now.
Right, and then you hear stories from the very beginning where like one guy had pizza and he bought pizza with like 2 Bitcoin, and now that's worth whatever it is.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, those stories are in that book too, because it's the whole history of how it was created and the early people getting involved. Now, the one thing that I did learn from it, and I still talk to some of my tech friends about this, and I'll just conclude on this because it's related to the elections, is there have been a lot of people in the tech world saying that blockchain, which is the technology that all crypto is based on, it could really apply to a lot of other things. And I'm talking over my head here because I don't quite get the ones and zeros, but I get theoretically how that works. And they say that you could actually create a completely secure voting system based on blockchain if you wanted to, that couldn't be manipulated. It would still be anonymous, but everybody could vote. And I've always been fascinated by that because I would love to see a prototype of that. The problem is, I would never trust whoever made it.
Yeah.
So I just don't know if we could do it.
Yeah, and then the other side of it is like, so if you use blockchain, people still have to sign up to vote and partake in that. And then it's like, are they signing up people that aren't really there, not real people? You would still need the verification.
Well, they talked through all that and said, yeah, there's a way to do that, you know, and make sure that the people are real, like everybody's assigned a certain number. I don't know. Like everybody has like a mark on their forehead or their hand, and they scan it before they vote. You know,
or buy food,
really to do anything. Like I don't know. That sounded a little weird to me, and I was like, I'm not really sure I'm buying into that. That took a weird turn. Right here at the end of the segment, we are going to be right back. We got some fun stuff to talk about. Speaking of Doge, I guess Dogecoin, Elon Musk has a new target for cutting federal spending. And it's not one that anybody has been talking about. CBS News is reporting this, and I'll tell you what it is next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Before I get into a new Doge target here for cutting government spending, Brad, do you really think that anything interesting is going to come out of the JFK files?
No.
I don't either.
I just want it out there so people can stop talking about it. But
they won't stop talking about it, though.
No. They'll be like, well, they just deleted everything. And you know what?
They probably would.
If you stop and think about this, if the government was doing some shady stuff, some illegal stuff, if the FBI had JFK assassinated or the CIA, whoever it was, there is 0% chance they have records of it and they kept them.
Yeah, especially for that long.
Yeah, that stuff is gone.
Well, yeah, like he's going to put out a paper that says, here's how we assassinated JFK.
I did it. I was the shooter on the grassy knoll.
Well, here's Trump.
I did it with Kennedy to an extent, but I was asked by some of our government officials not to. And, you know, you have to respect them. I was actually asked by Mike Pompeo, his Secretary of State, not to. And I felt he knew something that maybe, you know, when he asks you not to, you sort of say, why? And he felt that it was just not a good time to release him. And you might ask him why. Maybe he'll deny that even. But he did. He asked me. And some others also, though. They didn't want the Kennedy stuff released. And they're professionals, and I respect them. And they're working for me and the country. They're working for the country. And so I didn't release, but I'm going to release them immediately upon getting. We're going to see the information. We're looking at it right now.
See, that makes me think that there is something in there. Otherwise, why would they care about releasing it?
Well, my thing is this. Like, again, I still stand by the thought that the government didn't keep records of illicit deals. Like, all this conspiracy theory stuff, they're not going to have a big file cabinet in the basement that has what exactly they were doing. They're not going to leave a paper trail.
Isn't that the trouble with any of this stuff?
Yes. And so, along those lines, it's like, why is Trump hesitant to release it? It's like, well, if he releases what's actually there on it, it's going to be so small and insignificant that people are going to be like, he didn't release the whole thing.
You know what? Even if he releases the whole thing and it's clear that that's it, people are going to say exactly what we're saying right now, which is,
the whole thing.
Well, either they didn't release the whole thing or that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make anything go away. Unless it says, here's who actually killed JFK.
Unless it actually confirms
everything.
Here was
everything. Our plan. In Dallas.
Yeah. It confirms everything that we thought. Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
It's not going to go away. And that's the trouble with cleaning out the government in general is that you're like, well, if any department anywhere was doing anything shady, then the people who were involved with it would have been high up enough in those agencies mm-hmm. to also eliminate the record of that stuff.
They're not going to even have they're not going to keep that record. Man, you know, I'll give you a great example. Mike Madigan. That dude. Former Speaker House of Illinois, he's in trial right now. I don't know where exactly that's at, but they'll be going to jury soon. He stands a chance of going to jail. That man never had a paper trail for anything he did. Because he knew.
Exactly.
He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have an email address. You had to contact his secretary, and then his secretary had a paper book that she would keep names on, and then they would schedule the meetings that way.
And then once you write down the name in the book and the meeting happens, secretary tears the page out. And then eats it.
Yeah.
That's it.
He eats it.
That's the end of that.
Puts it in the incinerator.
It really, even if you were that stupid to create all kinds of government documents, like official government documents, saying, okay, here's how we really created COVID. In the
the recipe.
You still, like, Donald Trump gets elected on November 5th. You would have to just be like, should we get rid of those or should we just leave them? I think we should probably get rid of them, right? Right, guys? And there's a little internal vote and they go, yeah, I think we'll get rid of them. And then you hire a paper shredder, which apparently was seen outside of some of these places. Paper shredders pulling up and them just dumping documents.
Well, that's the other side of it, too. It's like how like unique is the idea that a paper shredder would come into a government building and shred stuff?
Yeah, probably not that unique.
It's probably pretty normal.
But the timing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
optics.
It's going to take an act of God. If there's stuff that our government was doing that's being hidden, it's going to take an act of God to find it, because it's not going to be, oh, the new sheriff's in town. Now he's going to go, you know, look through the old file cabinets and find what was really going on. It's just not going to happen that way. But it still could happen. There still could be things. There could be, for instance, whistleblowers come out and say, okay, now that administration's gone, let me tell you about what I was seeing. That's, I think, where you would have to happen.
The most likely thing. But then you, same idea, you get into the he said, she said of it.
Yeah, but if you have testimony and they can back it up, that's when it gets interesting. Mm-hmm. The last clip we haven't played from Trump's interview with Sean Hannity is one where he's talking a little bit about his faith. I look forward to hearing this one.
I turned. If I didn't turn, the turn was like split second perfect timing. So something happened, and I don't think you can call it just luck. It was, the chance was like 1/8 of a second, or we wouldn't be sitting here. Think of it, in a volume of time, 1/8 of a second, I was in the right position.
Do you believe that moment? People say to me, they see a change in you. Do you believe you've changed? Is this, for example, increased your faith in God?
Yes, I think so. I don't think I've changed, but I think that has taken place, yeah.
Well, if God has protected that man from dying, then God is able to carry out, I think there's a specific scripture that says what was done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's possible. I hope that if there is anything like that, that this would be the time that it comes out. Like, this feels like now's the time.
Yeah.
Right? We've been through it. If there's anything really shady, if there's all this crazy stuff and the reptile people, and even if it's not that salacious, I would really like to see the truth of how involved our government is with whatever, you know. There is a fact that we know that there were underage children being sex trafficked to very powerful people in the world. That's a fact. Jeffrey Epstein got arrested for that fact. He had a book full of people who were doing it. That book is just gone.
Yeah.
And anybody associated with it has never been prosecuted. They've never been pursued. So I'm not saying that that's the one thing that we would find out. You could find out that there's all kinds of weird things that have been going on. I just hope that we do. And I hope that with this administration in place, you know, Pam Bondi's been, is she even confirmed yet?
Not yet?
No, she's not. So she's not even the attorney general yet. So once she becomes the attorney general, that's when we actually could start seeing them pursue some of this stuff. I don't think that they'll publicly say it. I think that they'll do it kind of behind closed doors. And then if they have something, then we'll find out about it. But I hope that we do, assuming that we can. I mentioned that Elon Musk and DOGE, the Department of Governmental Efficiency, have a new target for cutting federal spending. It is, Brad, the U.S. penny.
Oh, they're going to get rid of the penny?
Well, they're talking about it. But there's not a clear way to do it. So here's the thing. The penny costs over 3 cents to make now because of the cost of copper. So it costs taxpayers over $179 million. And I'm assuming that means over the amount that you're printing. So if you're printing this amount of money, it costs this amount more just to print that, and you're losing money on the transaction.
Right.
So the question is, because of the penny's rising cost during the past year, it says the penny's costs have only continued to rise with the U.S. Mint's 2024 annual report. So this isn't just Elon Musk saying this. This is what I think it is. This is the U.S. Mint's 2024 annual report finding that 1 cent now costs about 3.7 cents to manufacture and distribute. The question is, should we get rid of the penny?
Man, this reminds me of like whenever coins used to be made out of silver and stuff like that. If you like, if you've got old coins, you can hear it. It sounds different when it hits the table. And what they've found out is that it cost more in the silver to make that coin than what that coin signified. So they started making it out of other materials. So that's why you look at the edge and you got like the zinc and the whatever else that's made out of the coin. I wonder if, because you still need a 1 cent. If, as long as you're a cash society, you're going to need something that signifies that one penny. What if you stopped making it out of copper and made it out of a more affordable material? Can you get the production cost down back to a penny?
That's the big question, because they did this for a while during World War II.
Yes.
You know this. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen a 1943 penny is silver.
Was it aluminum?
But yeah, they're not made of silver, like they're silver colored.
Right.
But they were made from probably aluminum. They're lighter.
Right.
And so aluminum would make sense. But it was for the war effort. Why wouldn't you do that? Now, I don't get that. That seems like the solution.
Yeah, a penny doesn't have to be made out of copper.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like paper money. Paper money isn't made out of anything. It's just a note, a promissory note, essentially, signifying this is worth that much. And that way we don't have to print out gold coins for it.
There's coming a day when you won't need pennies anymore. Inflation will continue, and at some point you won't need a penny. I mean, we're kind of borderline there right now, but are you ready to actually get rid of it is the question. Because you technically
could. If you could get rid of it, if you could make it to where, you know, taxes already included, then you make your prices nice round numbers, then you wouldn't need any coins.
Well, I think what they're saying is, nobody cares about a penny anymore. So if somebody, you're at the gas station and your change is 53 cents, the gas station would either give you 55 cents or 50 cents back. And nobody would really care that much.
not in one transaction, but that stuff adds up.
That's what I keep. I'm not ready to get rid of it.
You've got to figure out how nobody gets ripped off in the process. And if you're like, okay, well, if it's over this, then you got to round up and give them 55 cents back. Well, eventually, the one place that's always having to round up, because people aren't always going to have to round up, it's going to hurt their bottom line.
Well, everybody would figure out what that number is, and they would price their stuff to where they were always on the better end of it.
Right.
So I'm not ready to do that.
Hosed.
Yeah, and that's a lot of work, too, for a gas station to think about every candy bar that comes through. Oh, how do we price this at that point?
And then every time your local whatever changes their tax rates, then you've got to go back and recalculate the whole thing for everything in your store to make it work.
And people have been suggesting this for a decade now, that, oh, yeah, we're fine, we could get rid of the penny, because so many transactions of any scale are digital, that how much change, how much cash are you actually using? So I get it. And there probably is a day where that could happen. I just don't think that day is today. By the way, are you a coin guy? Like, are you interested in that topic?
Yeah, I've got like ancient coins and stuff like that.
Do you really?
Yes.
Holy Land. No kidding.
Yes. Widow's mites, which is like, if you read the Bible, the widow's last two copper pieces. I've got a couple of those. This 30 silver pieces. Those are very valuable, so I've got copies and replicas of those, but I've got old Roman coins and stuff like that, too.
I did not know this about you, but it makes sense.
Yeah,
you like history.
I had an acquaintance who had an inroad there, and I was like, I like history. Why don't you, like, this is where I have a chance to put my hands on history. Can you help me out here? And so we worked a deal, and he got me some coins from his guy over in Israel, and I did some stuff for him, and I've got some ancient coins that I use as object lessons for the youth, that I like to look at for history. I know exactly where they're sitting, too. I could bring them in tomorrow and show you. But
I remember learning about coins when I was a kid. And not just like, oh, what is a quarter worth? What is a dime worth? And all that stuff. I remember that, too. But and by the way, in kindergarten, they put up a quarter and they told you, well, this is 25 cents. And then they put and big pictures, you know, for the little kindergartners. And I remember sitting in that class and they put up a penny and they go, what's that worth? And nobody would raise their hand. I was like, ooh, call on me. And they're like, what's it worth, Ryan?
You grab your arm over your head.
me. And they're like, what's it worth? And I was like, 1 cent. They're like, yeah, good job. Okay. Now, then they put up a nickel. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what is that worth? And so either me or somebody said 5 cents. I'm like, okay, great. I'm understanding. This is going great. Then they put up the dime. I'm like, what is this worth? And they put it between the penny and the nickel.
Oh, that's deceptive.
Because the size.
But it's smaller than a penny.
And I was like, well, it can't be less than a cent, right? Okay, yes, so deductive reasoning would suggest. And so I raised my hand. And they're like, Ryan. I'm like, 3 cents. Pretty much figured that out, right? And they're like, no. And I was like, oh, two? What could it be?
Yeah, it's between the nickel and the penny.
Yeah, and they're like, no, this one's worth 10. And I was like, damn this government.
And that was the birth of a conservative.
That was it. You think you're so tricky with your sizes.
It's conspiracy theories, and they lie to you, and they won't tell you the truth.
It was like one of the first things I taught my kids, because I was like, this will not happen to you in kindergarten. No, it will not.
No.
One of the other things, though, my kids are really, they love looking at coins now, because I've taught them a little bit about them. Yeah. I'm not that into it, but it's just, I don't know why, it's kind of fun. That I've taught them to look at the year on the coin.
Yes.
And do you know the year of the quarter that you keep now? Because there's silver in them.
Oh, is it 62?
You're close.
I don't remember specifically, though.
It was 1965 that they stopped putting silver in quarters.
Yeah.
So if you find a quarter, and they're harder to find now than ever, because anybody who, like, even if a handful of people know about it, well, if you see one, you take it out of circulation. You just keep it. And if you see a 1964 or earlier quarter, they have silver in them. And I think the farther back you go, the more silver they have.
Yeah.
But 1964 was the last year they had some silver in them. And so those are the ones that if you see them, you hang
on
to
it. Keep it.
In the last, I kid you not, in the last 5 or 10 years since my kids have been born and I've been teaching them about this, I think I've, at the time I taught them, we found 2 or 3 within a year. And they were like, oh my gosh, we're rich. And I'm like, you're darn right we are. That's worth like $3 now. But since then, I have not found a single quarter. Since probably 2017 or 18.
That's because your kids are finding them. And
they got them all. Well, anyway, this is the Annie Fry Show. This is the 2 o'clock hour. Oh, man. Lots of people asking questions in the chat. I'll have to look at that during the break. We will get back to this and other topics and get to the results of, I guess we're talking about money, aren't we? Have you ever bought crypto? That's today's poll question. Vote. We'll get to the results of the poll at the end of the show, which is coming up in the next segment on The Annie Fry Show. Go! America's most accessible talk show host, Brian Kilmeade. That was his song.
Yeah, I heard that. I was like, wait, did we mean to play that? But yeah, that's Little Talks by of Monsters.
Little Talks. Did you know that that song that I think Kilmeade played that song? Does he still even use that song? I don't know if he does. Does he? Okay, if he does.
Yeah, he uses it every day.
That song is a joke. Do you realize that?
No.
Because the chorus is, don't listen to a word I say.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I'm sure he did that to be funny. It's a good song, yeah. Though, too. When I was in Iceland, random story, and then we'll get to the results of the poll. When I was in Iceland, they were so proud of that song because it was a number one worldwide song. I think that both of those are, like, it's a duo. I think both of them were from Iceland, and that was about 2013. And that rarely happens. They have Bjork, and they have Sigur Rós, and that's it.
And I've heard of the first one.
Yeah, the second one didn't have any hits, but they do exist. Before we get to the results of the poll, I mentioned this to Ethan. I don't know if I talked to you about it, Brad, but can you think of any commercials in your entire life that you're like, oh yeah, I still remember that commercial. Like it had a commercial that had an impact on you recently or when you were a kid or whatever.
Yes. So do you remember the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Yes.
From like, was it 1989 or 1990 or something like that? I had the VHS, and there was a Pizza Hut commercial at the beginning of that VHS. And it was about a little kid who played right field, and there was a song. And so in that year, I think I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I used to sing along with it. Well, my mom thought it was the cutest thing, and my grandmas used to think it was the cutest thing. And they would always ask me to sing that song whenever I was in front of them. And I watched that movie the other day, and it led with the commercial was there. The commercial was on the digital version of the movie that
no
I watched.
Kidding.
Yes. And I watched it, and I could sing along with it like it was nothing. I'm 41 years old, and I was 5, and I still remember that.
Man.
I can still see the little kid with the pudgy thing kind of like looking up in the sky in the sun and ducking.
Oh, and he sticks his hand up, and it just goes right in his glove, right?
Yes.
I remember that commercial.
Yeah, I play right field. It's important to know. You got to know how to catch. You got to know how to throw. And that's why I play right field, way out where the dandelions grow. And then they go to Pizza Hut afterwards because they won the game.
That's right, because he caught the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that commercial. Okay, you just made me realize something that I'm really ashamed of. When I was a kid, in the 80s, breakdancing was a thing.
I mean, it's still a thing. You're a little older kid than me then.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm a couple years older than you. And I'm just realizing that when I was like 3, 4, 5 years old, I would see breakdancers on TV, and I would just start breakdancing. I wasn't really breakdancing.
Yes.
I was just sort of like shuffling around in a circle.
Yeah.
And I realizing, like I'm not kidding, at this moment, yeah, that my parents were still like, you know, pretty social when I was probably 3, 4 years old or whatever. So we'd go to people's houses and parties, and I'd be with other kids. And they would call me in and go, Ryan, show everybody you're breakdancing. And I would do it, and I thought I was awesome. I was not awesome. I was bad at it.
You were the joke.
They were making a joke. And I'm realizing that now. That is so sad for me.
You
Dad,
would never.
Mom, are you listening? I just figured you out. And because I thought I was amazing up until this moment in 2025. That's so sad.
You've done the same thing to your children.
But anyway, the whole purpose of talking about the ads thing. Are there any? Do you want to chime in on this, Ethan?
I've had to kind of sift through like some like unpopular commercial like things, just lists and websites. And as I am, a couple are coming to mind, and this one just popped up. It's the first one I really remember. It is the Snickers "You're Not You When You're Hungry." The first one where they had Betty White, and she gets tackled by a football player, and then eat a Snickers, eats it, and it's like this big old dude. Like,
better.
So, that's my first. But at first, it's Betty White with the ball, and she just gets laid out.
I remember that ad, too.
So, yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I like the ones that come back to me are, like, the funny ones, but I think I remember more than anything, like, the jingles that go along with it. Like, the Old Spice, like, the whistling, like, mm-hmm. stuff like that, I feel like is more. Yeah, that, exactly. Like, that, I feel like, is more the kind of stuff that comes to mind for me. But yeah, that Snickers one is definitely up there.
For me, it was actually just a couple years ago. It was the Lance Drury Law Firm. Whenever I hear that, I'm like, oh, yeah, takes me back. sorry.
So, like, just like the script written,
I hear it,
on,
I'm just
written
like,
on
yeah,
your brain.
Yeah, it's just like emotional. No, but there's an ad campaign right now that everybody knows. It's the Limu Emu.
And Doug.
And I, those are good ads. My kids love the Limu Emu right now because he's in that ad where he's got the hobo stick and he's like leaving home.
the Emu does.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Shane Gillis SNL skit with Limu Emu?
Yeah, I have. And it was good, too.
You should show your kids that one.
But I have no way. But they're leaving town. And the Limu's even town, and he's like, oh, he proved us wrong.
You're never going to make anything.
It's a funny commercial.
How'd he get in here?
But they still do the ones where the person's standing in front of the Statue of Liberty, too. Mm-hmm. So there's like two different versions of
Liberty
the Limu Bibbidi ads. Yeah.
How about?
And Liberty Bibbidi kind of made those stick, I think. I think they would have abandoned those long ago, but that one was so sticky that they stuck with it. So there's one running right now. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It runs all the time. It's the dude with the statue of himself.
Yes.
Okay? I posted on Twitter 2 weeks ago. I said, look, Liberty Mutual, and I tagged them in it. I said, look, you guys, your ads are usually really good. This one's a swing and a miss. The one where the guy's melting, he like
it's terrible.
He's a bad actor. Like it just didn't work. It also is like, did you not think about this taking a wax statue outside? I mean, the logic is stupid. I don't like it. So I tagged them in it and I said, look, I like you guys. I like your ads. This one's not good. Ever since then, and this may be anecdotal, I have not seen that ad. And maybe they're still running.
Oh,
I just haven't seen it. Now, like, bear with me though. This was like 2 weeks ago. I have not seen that ad one time. Again, if you have, that's cool. It's just me then. But I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, you know what? I haven't seen that ad since then. Maybe they saw my post and they thought, eh, okay.
They just geofenced around you.
Maybe. I don't know. But I look up today, and I share an office with Mark Cox. I look up at the TV, and that ad comes on. And I was like, oh, I was wrong. They're still running it. I just hadn't seen it. It's a different mm-hmm. version of that ad.
It's the one where he gets hit with a frisbee.
All of a sudden, the frisbee comes in, sticks in the side of the thing. I'm like, oh, that one's a little funnier. It's not like their best, but it's better than the other one. And I'm wondering if here on the Annie Fry Show, if on Wiggins America, wherever it is, if Liberty Mutual isn't, you know, listening and being like, all right, I get it. It's not very good. Maybe they knew it. You know?
Yeah, because I bet that 2 weeks is the amount of time that it took to turn that.
No, they didn't reshoot it. I'm sure they had a whole bunch in the can.
They've just shifted how often they're running the other one. Because I saw that one before you made that tweet too.
Yeah,
I like I am so tired of Flo from Progressive, but I like the Progressive ones where they're like teaching kids not to be like their parents, and they're starting to act like their parents. Have you seen these ones?
Oh yeah,
and there's like it's like the yeah, but it's like the therapist that's like, nope, don't do that. You don't do that. You do it like this. I
you guys
those
like
ones.
Blair.
Yeah, like you like his kids like putting like logs on a fire, and he doesn't like really stack them to where like you know the fire
oh,
can really
seen this
shoot
one.
Up, and he like starts to do it for him. He's like, nope, don't. He has to learn. Like
it's just yeah, that's a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah, the insurance companies really are the only ones making the creative ads right now. I don't know why, but they are. Like all the State Farm ones, you know, the Jake. You know, they're attempting
even
to be
like
funny.
The
they're
Capital
not all great,
One insurance, like they're like they got like the Capital One guy that they're trying to make like their guy. You know, where mm-hmm. He's in front of all the kids at school, and they're like Derek Jeter's next to him, and like an astronaut, and they keep going back. So, how are you successful? And Derek Jeter's like, well, he's like, actually I was talking to the Capital One guy.
Commercials are an art form, man.
Yeah,
and the good ones, you know, I'm glad we still have all the streaming services are switching over to commercial. You know, the business model didn't work. And so they're trying to figure out how to make money again.
Yeah,
now they're charging you and showing you commercials.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, our crypto question today was the YouTube live chat poll. Have you ever bought crypto? And Ethan's got the results.
I sure do. 226 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. As Mr. Wiggins said, have you ever bought currency? And this one, not very close. An overwhelming no. 81% of the people speaking saying no, they have not bought cryptocurrency. Do some simple math. 19% have.
Yeah, that's the way it kind of tracked all day. It was about 20% of people said that they had. And some of the comments suggested that, like Andy just commented a little bit ago, said, yes, bought crypto just this past week, simply as an experiment. I think that's where a lot of people are. He said he spent a total of $1 on Solana. Never even heard of that one. Well, just be careful if you're out there doing other ones because, you know, they rise.
Be prepared to lose that dollar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the Andy Fry Show. We expect that she'll be back tomorrow, and we will see you then.